May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Currently, we are going in our sermon series through Revelation, the book of Revelation. In today's reading, we are getting a first glimpse of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And we'll get a more detailed description of this holy city and the glory of God in a new reading, and which in next week's reading. So it seems that John, in his vision, is introduced to the holy city twice. Commentators have noted that the first vision seems to bring to conclusion one section of the book, while the second vision then focuses just on the holy city. So today I want to look at the holy city in light of the previous chapters in the book of Revelation, which we haven't read, but I'll refer to some of the main themes in there. Because when we read those chapters, like chapters 18 and 19, it seems that this is a tale of two cities. The holy city is contrasted with another city, a great city, clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls. That city is called, with a less flattering name, Babylon the Great Whore, because people and leaders have been besotted with that city. While some have grown rich through the city's power, many others have been destroyed by her all-encompassing influence. It's clear that that city described in the book of Revelation, Babylon, that city does not stand for a particular empire, because in the description of its downfall, John combines prophecies about Babylon, Tyre, Edom, and about the Persian and Hellenistic empires. This city called Babylon represents whatever earthly empire commands human allegiance through its economic, military, and ideological prominence. The seven churches to which the book of Revelation was written, they understood that the Roman Empire under which they lived, that would fall too. This empire that controlled everything, the great empire, would one day be destroyed. And we read in those chapters that John heard a voice calling the faithful, "Come out of the city, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins, and so that you do not share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." Of course, the people back then could not physically leave the Roman Empire. It controlled everything around them. And even if they were to somehow go beyond its reach, there would be other rulers who would govern with an iron fist. The contrast between the two cities is a question of loyalty. Which city are you loyal to? On which city do you spend all your effort? Which city do you expect fulfillment from? Is it Babylon or Jerusalem? Today we are living in little independent, benign New Zealand, not an empire. Does this contrast between Babylon and Jerusalem have any relevance for us then? Well, yes, there will always be social, economic, or ideological orders that draw us away from God's purposes. And while the military order may not be so dominating now and here, it is in other places of the earth, and it was in here in the past and in many other places in the world. It might again be so in the future. One of the reasons that John paints the New Jerusalem in such vivid colors is to contrast it with the all-encompassing claims of the current order. While Babylon may be dazzling in the end, the heavenly Jerusalem is so much more glorious, so much grander, so much more fulfilling. All the success in the kingdom of this world is nothing compared to the glory of God's kingdom. Therefore, leave your desperate striving for success, for it is hollow, empty, and does not lead to true meaning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. all those who have not made it in the affairs of the powers of this world, who are persecuted, who are suffering, who are numb from pain, who see little sense in their existence. All you know that the heavenly city already casts its light onto your lives. The light of God already sheds its rays into the present darkness. And through that, we can see this world and our lives anew. Yes, we can see the corruption, the ugliness, but also the goodness and beauty of this world and of our own lives. We can see how our insignificant life has purpose and meaning and beauty in the greater purposes of God. And that gives confidence and comfort first already in this world. It gives perspective even when we fail in many things. So lift up your heads, for your God has redeemed you and will draw you to where he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. John sees the creation of a new heaven and a new earth, where the brokenness of this world will be healed. But it is not a place that is totally unrelated to this earth, for the holy city comes down from heaven, so that there is an intersection between heaven and earth, between God's dimension and ours. John, the writer of Revelation, uses a combination of prophetic texts from Ezekiel and Zechariah to describe the essence of the heavenly city. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. It's the immediate presence of God that makes this heavenly city so good, so beautiful, so desirable. And through that presence of God, we humans will also be reconciled, for divisions will be healed. For example, the verses echoed from the prophet Ezekiel speak about the healing between the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. The verses from Zechariah, which we've read, they talk about many nations joining themselves to the Lord, becoming part of God's people. In the book of Zechariah, it says that Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of people there. They will come from everywhere to dwell in God's city. And just to make clear that we understand the vision, John refers here to a passage in which God is calling those who live in the daughter of Babylon to escape, to come out. Leave Babylon, the empty promises of this world, and come to God. That is the message. John draws all that into one great vision. He paints the promise we look forward to, a world renewed, a world in beauty, where our longings will be fulfilled, and the thirsty will receive water from the spring of life. By keeping their eyes on God, on the Redeemer, the saints will overcome, will transform their lives already in the here and now to be a reflection, though an imperfect reflection, of that heavenly reality. It is a vision that sustains even when our present reality may appear anything but heavenly. For God is already present with us here, not completely as then, but still in all God's grace and goodness. This view through and beyond the present reality has shaped the Christian witness from the early church. To the saints and martyrs, it gave perseverance in times of persecution. To the faithful, it gave perspective in times of plenty. To the downtrodden, it gave courage in times of injustice. To the concerned, it gave inspiration in times of freedom. To Christians everywhere, it still gives assurance in times of uncertainty and change. What can God give us today through a glimpse of heaven?